Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to The Rebellion, everyone. Welcome into Redacted on this Wednesday. It is, September 18th? Good to see all of you guys. I am Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we tend to navigate through all of the propaganda and the stuff the mainstream media largely ignores. We're going to do that today with another potential Trump assassination attempt, a number of suspicious incidents surrounding the Trump rally in New York, and some admissions from the Secret Service on just how ineffectual they are in their ability to protect President Trump. We're going to talk about that coming up.
Plus, we do have an interest rate cut, the first of many that we are expecting. It's aggressive, but how will that play out in a presidential election year? What are the presidential candidates' platforms, their economic platforms? What will it mean specifically to your wallet? Well, we have a guest, Tom Rivera, coming up, and he's going to break it down exactly what each candidate's win would mean for your finances.
I mean, yeah, 10% of the economy right now has been absolutely tied up because of these high interest rates right now, and that is the housing market. So this is a big, big, big move today. We're also going to talk about what was left out of the Diddy indictment. How high does this go? Is Diddy himself being really just sort of the scapegoat in this? Because there are a lot of people above him. How high does this go, and why were they left out of this indictment? A lot of unanswered questions that we're going to break down today on the show. We're also going to talk about these white blood clots, and you, the audience, responded tremendously. And I want to thank all of you who watch Redacted, whether it's on Rumble and YouTube. This story coming up is a follow-up to the story that we did about these white fibrous blood clots that have been showing up in cadavers and in human beings. And many of you took the survey and responded, and the data is unbelievable. So Thomas Havlund is going to be back on the show. He wanted to thank all of you, but he's going to update you a little bit later in today's show. We're going to do that story specifically on Rumble because we can't do it here on YouTube. So we'll do that a little bit later in the show. So we'll get to all of that on the show today. Very busy Wednesday. So we're going to get to what the Secret Service is admitting here in a second. But first, today's show brought to you by our friends at Bunker, and that is our friends at Bunker Life, because you can download Bunker right now from the App Store or on the Play Store if you use the code REDACTED to get your first year free. Cyber criminals targeting people and businesses by exploiting vulnerabilities in everyday tools that we use, like email, social media messengers, free cloud storage, as well as weak passwords. In fact, in the last couple of months, there have been two major breaches that probably affected you. There was the breach at AT&T, which exposed all of those text message logs, and affected every AT&T customer. Also, what about the national public data breach for Social Security numbers? Yeah, the Social Security Administration admitted that. So that's where the people at Bunker are helping you. It's an affordable all-in-one app protecting you against identity theft, cybercrime, and surveillance. And guess what? You can get your Bunker application for $12 annually. That's right. Why pay several different apps when you can get yourself for $12 annually protected with Bunker? Right now, you can use the code REDACTED to get your first year for free. Just go to bunker.life and use the code REDACTED. You can download it on the iOS App Store or on the Google Play Store, and you get, just by using that code REDACTED, you get your first year for free. So our thanks to them for supporting the show. Good to see all of you guys here today. Ingrid Jobst says, I love when someone says this, Dr. Campbell already talked about that last year. Ingrid, yes, in fact, Yes, we did that story over a year ago. This is a follow-up to the story
This story continues.
Yeah, there's not an end to people showing up with white fibrous clots. We did the story over a year ago. I think Thomas Havland was a guest on our show first, by the way, FYI. But in addition to that...
We're not competing.
No, but I just want to say when someone's like, yeah, that story, someone did that story a year ago. Yeah, well, now it's showing up in human beings who are alive, not just dead, but alive human beings are showing up with these clots. And so we're going to talk more about that. But it's a big update to the story we brought you last week because many of you took that survey. So again, that's why this is so important to get this message out about these clots. All right, let's talk about this. Secret Service. Well, we now know there are so many assassination attempts against President Trump. According to a deep state leak that the iNews out of the UK is reporting, they got their hands on the Secret Service admitting that it can't protect Trump from being assassinated. Can't make this up. Because of course they can. They're just choosing not to. And they're trying to blame it on, well, there's a lot of guns. And there's a lot of social media rhetoric.
Why did they exist then?
Yeah, their whole purpose is to protect the president.
Uh-huh. But they can't do it.
Former president. But they can't do it because of there's a lot of guns. Buying guns is easy. We'll get to what their excuses are here. Go ahead.
Protection from what then? Bees? they didn't know that guns existed. They're like, wait. People are going to be shooting at us?
Yeah. Well, also shrubbery and slanted roofs seem to be their kryptonite.
Apparently, guns are a new thing.
Yeah.
Maybe John Wilkes Booth. I don't know. What did he use back in 1860? 1865.
Rocks. They can protect against rocks.
We've known about guns for a long time. We've known about lone actors. We've known about conspiracies for a long time. Groups of individuals getting together to kill the president of the United States.
I guess after Kennedy, they should have just said, well, this is a thing.
Yeah, I guess these guns are a thing. 100 years after Lincoln, we have JFK. Anyway, so according to iNews, you can't even make this up. I'm just furious just going over this. I'm just like, they're basically telegraphing, we can't stop it. It's going to happen. Trump's going to be assassinated. That's basically what they're saying. Here it is. The U.S. Secret Service cannot guarantee it can prevent further shootings, such as the two apparent assassination attempts involving Donald Trump, U.S. and British intelligence sources have told iNews. Law enforcement sources on both sides of the Atlantic warned that aggressive social media rhetoric and the ease of buying firearms has created a threat for both presidential campaigns too large for the U.S. agency to deal with alone. On Sunday, Mr. Trump faced his second assassination attempt in 2 months as a would-be shooter positioned himself in the bushes on the perimeter of his Florida golf club. A Secret Service agent monitoring one hole ahead of Mr. Trump spotted the barrel of a gun pointing through the fence line. One suspect was later arrested about 40 miles from the scene, and an official investigation has been launched by the FBI. U.S. intelligence source told iNews that social media rhetoric that encourages violence with no end in sight has seen a rise in individuals spurred on to launch attacks against political figures they disagree with. The rise of individual actors who are not affiliated with any specific traditional ideology or organization continues to be the main threat pattern. They warned about the rise in aggression fueled by social media, and the U.S. Secret Service is not resourced to track every, quote, crazy narrative on the internet, end quote, requiring them to lean on other agencies. Really? So wait a second. Let's just so we understand here. This shooter the other day at Trump's golf course was not some just random poster on the internet. We now know, according to Breitbart, that the FBI, Interpol, the Customs and Border Protection were warned about the Trump assassination suspect Ryan Ralph multiple times. This was not just some random internet social media narrative BS.
Also, didn't we cover last week the fact that they have a mass surveillance tool and they're going to survey us? Refer to the piece I did about how the Department of Homeland Security now has this weapon of mass surveillance that they say can protect against any fake news, any AI simulation. They're on it. They say they can control the whole internet unless it's a threat to Trump.
A threat to Trump, we'll allow that to happen.
I mean, they did know about him, so the surveillance is working okay. It's just the act upon it thing that seems to be a bit wonky at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they what know they need about to do. It. Let's have them just go scrub all the BlackRock commercials, and everybody that's in them, just go. Right. Go
yeah, just keep an eye, extra eye on them.
These guys keep showing up in BlackRock commercials. Yeah, and now there's speculation. In fact, we don't know if it's confirmed yet that this Ryan Routh was actually at a Kamala Harris rally. He was caught on camera. He was one of the individuals who was bussed into the rally. You know, because people aren't actually showing up to her rallies. They have to be bussed in and, I guess, and paid for, like paid for actors. Be interesting to see if the Kamala Harris campaign actually paid this guy. Well, maybe we'll get there. But anyway, we're learning now that authorities ignored multiple warnings about the Trump assassination suspect, Ryan Routh. He had been flagged to the FBI, Interpol, Customs and Border Protection months before this incident. Months. Chelsea Walsh, a nurse who had interactions with Routh in Ukraine, repeatedly alerted authorities about his violent behavior and potential recruitment of Syrian refugees. But no significant actions were taken. Quoting now from Breitbart, when she heard in 2023 that Routh was attempting to recruit Syrian refugees to fight in Ukraine, she filed an online report with the FBI and Interpol outlining her concerns about Routh and others. Neither Customs nor FBI followed up with her. The FBI didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. Routh's behavior has been flagged to the FBI in the past, though not in connection to Ukraine. A tipster told the FBI in 2019 that Routh had a firearm despite being a felon, but when questioned further, wouldn't verify providing the information, an FBI official said on Monday. The Bureau passed the information on to authorities in Honolulu, Hawaii, where Routh was living at the time, and they closed the investigation. After being alerted to these messages in early June, other aid groups banned him from their signal groups and reported his activities to the State Department, noting their concerns he might be engaging in human trafficking or immigration fraud. Beware of American Ryan Routh, Adams warned Ukraine aid groups in June 2nd, 2023. And this morning, at a Trump rally on Long Island, a bomb scare. Now, you know, this is a video of that incident. Police were investigating a bomb inside a nearby vehicle at a Trump rally. But after police responded to this, Nassau police said, no, don't worry about it. This was just a suspicious incident. The Public Information Office reports a suspicious incident that occurred in Uniondale. Reports of explosives being found at the site are unfounded. There's a person who's being questioned who may have been training a bomb detection dog near the site. The individual with the bomb dog falsely reported explosives being found, and that individual is currently being detained by police. Okay, what?
Like a civilian training a bomb dog?
Right? Wait, what?
Then he reported himself?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot make this shit up. What in the world? So DC Drano posted this. Rogan Hanley said, guys, read this. Nassau bomb threat situation smells fishy. Why would they be questioning the individual who planted bomb devices to, quote, help train the dog? Wouldn't they know who was doing the bomb detection? Seems like a strange time to do dog training, right?
Wait,
right next to a Trump rally?
In that training, do you call the police when you find it? If you put it there?
You put it there?
I mean,
next to a Trump rally?
Okay.
And by the way, you train a bomb detection dog with actual live materials, mm-hmm. right? With actual bomb making materials.
Yeah.
That's how you train a dog.
Okay. That's weird, right? That's very weird.
And as a journalist, Darren Beatty, of course, Darren Beatty is one of the really blew the story wide open on the pipe bomber situation after the DNC on January 6th. He's an excellent journalist. He writes this. If you look historically into historically suspicious events, you'll see a pattern in which there is some kind of training exercise or drill whose subject matter almost exactly overlaps with the real life thing that allegedly happens. This allows for plausible deniability when feds are caught. It was just confusion from the exercise. I'm not saying that this is what happened here, he says, but it is interesting to point out this pattern. And we just spent a whole week covering the 9/11 attacks. You can watch our full reports. We did a whole week-long look, interview after interview after interview on the propaganda surrounding 9/11. Sound familiar? Training exercises about Twin Towers and buildings being hit by airliners? Training exercises right as they're happening? Really interesting and suspicious. The same thing is said about the January 6th pipe bomb. You know, the pipe bomb left by DNC headquarters. Training exercises? Yeah. Very interesting. Tony Sarugia tweeted this earlier. He's a data analyst who tracks all of these things. He says, my team is helping with GPS data for three suspicious incidents near the Trump New York rally on Long Island during the sweeps. I will not be posting details publicly for now in order to protect the integrity of any ongoing investigations. If you are there and you see something, say something. Three suspicious incidents near the Trump rally in Long Island. Yesterday, we interviewed ex-CIA agent Michael Scheuer. He got out in 2004. Now he's like on a mission to keep America out of these incidents in Ukraine and Israel and everything else, and pissing a lot of people off at the CIA. He said this yesterday on our show. This was yesterday, and then today we have a bomb scare at a Trump rally. Listen.
They may be finished, Clinton, with shooters, but not with a truck bomb or an aerial weapon of some kind, and they can blame it on... They can blame it on anybody. They've got all the gangsters in the country they need, and they can set them up. The FBI specialty is setting up Muslim terrorists. They get one not very bright Muslim, suggest an operation. He goes out and gets some dumber Muslims, and then at the last moment, the FBI picks him up and calls it a victory against terrorism. So there's lots of other options out there. And it depends on how many people they're willing to kill as to what option. Right now, they seem focused just on him. But if it's his family, if it's his children, if it's a bunch of people who just work for him, I think there's no hesitation on the part of the Democrats to preserve what they have to killing more than one person.
Sure. They kill lots of people in the Middle East. Yeah. They don't care about killing.
So there you have an ex-CIA agent saying that the deep state will stop at nothing. They're done with guns right now. They're moving on to explosives, and that they will. And now we're hearing from the Secret Service that we can't stop.
Well, we already see a man dead from the first attempted assassination. So that's now Trump supporters who are also, what do you call it?
Collateral damage.
Acceptable collateral damage.
And if you have a truck bomb or some sort of explosive that he's talking about, and then you hear it, I mean, yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't care if they took out Trump supporters. They would love that. I'm sure they would absolutely love that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we are in dark and dangerous times right now, folks. And it's deeply troubling. Biden was sort of asked about this today as he's like leaving the White House, and he's just kind of mumbled some stuff about how Congress needs to, like, you know, do some stuff about Secret Service protection for the president. Like, so right now, Department of Homeland Security under Mayorkas saying really only Secret Service protection for sitting presidents. So Kamala Harris, Vice President, President Biden, but yeah, minimal for President Trump, who has the largest rallies of any candidate right now. It's unbelievable.
Place the National Guard on the perimeter, the whole perimeter, just, you know, National Guard or something. Like, they'd do a better job probably of...
I'm sure Pelosi would.
Saying something.
Yeah.
Pelosi could bring in the National Guard. I'm sure she'd be first in line to do that like she did on January 6th.
Yeah.
We've got more news to get to. We've got a lot of news to get to.
Can November 5th just please get here?
We've got 48 days.
I can't stand it. Yeah.
48 days.
You guys. All right. This is the worst cliffhanger ever.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, we've got a lot more news to get to. The Fed just cut rates. This was a very aggressive rate cut from the Fed. We could see a couple more rate cuts this year. This is the Fed saying we're going to jump on this grenade as quickly as we can. What will this mean for the presidency? What will this mean for the election coming up in the next few weeks? Our friend of the show, one of the smartest tax accountants in the world, Tom Wheelwright, is going to be joining us to talk about that. But first, we are going to talk about our friends over at GDR Labs, because if you suffer from daily pain, I need you to listen to this message very carefully. What we know about pain relief is changing forever. As we age, aches and pains are normal, and we're all searching for effective ways to relieve pain without side effects and addiction. Let's be frank. We've all seen the horrors of the opioid crisis. You may even be affected personally. Your family might know someone that has been affected by this. That's where a pioneering medical scientist comes in, Clint Winters. You may have seen the world-renowned health expert featured in the national media. He's unveiled a natural pain reliever that has taken the world by storm. And I'm talking about Canolidine, the 100% drug-free way to get full-body pain relief without dangerous pills. As you read this right now, Canolidine has become the go-to pain reliever for over a million Americans, hundreds of professional athletes. It was even named as the UFC's number one official pain reliever for the UFC. Right now, you guys can try it. Go to trycono.com/redacted, and you're going to get it for less than $1 per day. You can access the only Canoladine product in the world for less than $1 per day. Clint has provided this special link for you guys. You can guys get this special discount. Just go to trycono.com/redacted. I see a bunch of people in the chat who've already ordered this. Give it a shot. If you suffer from chronic pain, you don't want to have that addiction from drugs, try cono.com/redacted, the 100% drug-free Canoladine. Try it for less than $1 a day.
Well, the Federal Reserve cut interest rates today by a half a point, which is an aggressive move when you consider how slowly they raised them post-pandemic. How this affects the economy, though, going into the election is a wild guess. Does this favor any one candidate? How is that going to affect your wallet? Well, we asked Tom Wheelwright. He is the author of many books and the host of the Wealthability podcast, and always my go-to when it comes to any economic advice. Full stop. We have been asking his breakdown of the candidates' plans since the Trump-Clinton election. We had him on our show then. We had him in the Trump-Biden election. He's batting 100 because his predictions hold up, you guys. So I spoke with him earlier today. Here is what he has to say about what we can expect for our finances if either candidate wins. Okay, Tom, so who should we start with? Let's start with the policies of Kamala Harris. What are the general policies that we should take away from her economic plan, and how will it affect us as consumers?
So her economic policy is very much tax the rich, and we have to define rich. So she's particularly focused on business owners as being rich. Her policies are quite anti-small business, and they're not, you know, she says that she wants to tax rich, wealthy wage earners, but they actually take a much less of a hit than wealthy business owners. And the reason is because she's very focused on increasing the capital gains tax, which affects business owners, not employees. She's very much focused. She'd like to get rid of the 20% small business deduction. She'd like to add the net investment income tax to all earnings of businesses. So not just passive investments, but all business earnings. So, and she'd like to increase that to 5% from 3.8 to 5%. So what that means is, if you kind of simplify it down, she'd like capital gains rates to be 33% is her target for a capital gains rate. She would like a business owner to pay tax of 44.6% and then a tax of 33% when they sell their business or when the business increases in value. So one of the other things that is we've not seen in a presidential candidate before now is this proposal to tax unrealized gains. Now, there is a big question whether that's constitutional, but let's ignore that for just a second, and let's say, well, what is it and what isn't it? What Vice President Harris would like to do is enact a minimum tax of 25% so that, let's say that you had a lot of, and this is, by the way, this is in the Biden budget this year. So she's just adopting the Biden budget when it comes to the unrealized capital gains tax. In fact, a lot of her proposals, she's added a couple, but most of her proposals are straight from the Biden budget. So if you really want to look at, do a deep dive, you'd go to the Biden Green Book, which is the explanation of the budget. Basically, that's what the Green Book is. And so what we know from that is that she says that it would only be on people that have a net worth over $100 million. Somehow she calls that a billionaire's tax. Last I checked, you're not a billionaire if you have $100 million. But that's a, you know, it's popular. But in any case, so that's what she's proposing is, let's say that you are, let's say, for example, you're Warren Buffett, okay? And truly a billionaire. And you're going, okay, so Warren Buffett doesn't have any income because his is all capital gains. And it's unrealized capital gains because he doesn't sell stocks. Okay. So let's say he has zero income, but let's say his net worth, the value of his stock portfolio, went from 30 billion to 32 billion in a year. Okay. Well, that $2 billion would be subject to basically a 25% tax. So that means he would have to sell stock in order to pay that tax. Okay. Now, what's interesting is it would appear he would be double taxed on that, because he would have an increase in VAT. He'd have the unrealized capital gains tax. Let's say this is 2025. So he starts the year with $30 billion. And I don't know what his net worth is. I'm sure it's north of that. But he starts the year at $30 billion. At the end of the year, he's at $32 billion, which means that for 2025, now on April 15th, he owes $500 million of tax. But he's going to sell stock in, say, January, February to pay that tax. Well, when he sells that stock, presumably he's going to pay tax on the capital gains at 33%. So he's going to pay tax twice on that increase in value. Now, one of the big questions is, what happens if it goes to $32 billion in 2025, and then in 2026, it goes back down to $30 billion? Does he get the money back? Well, that causes havoc with the Treasury, right? And so what we've done historically is, no, you don't get it. You get a carryover. Well, do you get a carryover as a capital loss, as an ordinary loss? How does that work? So it's one of the challenges with this is, first of all, it won't stop at $100 million. It will come down eventually, because once it's the camel's nose in the tent. That's one of my biggest challenges with this policy. The original income tax, remember, 1913, only applied to the wealthiest individuals, and only on a very small portion of their income. And now the average employee pays income tax. So we could see that over the years that would regress, right? It wouldn't be a $100 million, and then next it'll be $10 million, next it'll be $1 million, and people go, well, even $1 million is a lot. Well, it is, unless you own a house in California or New York. There's very few people in California and New York that don't have a net worth of $1 million, that have any kind of income, actually live in a house. Right. So then the question is, does it apply to your house? Does it apply to your business? Does it apply to your art? Does it apply to your precious metals? What does it apply to? It's a very difficult plan to work. And France tried it and they abandoned it.
But that assumes that people have something, which in this economy, so few people do. Now, one of the things I'll let you take a victory lap over is that during the Biden-Trump campaign, you talked about how they were both racing to give away money with all of these handouts and spend, 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 and then that would lead to inflation. And that actually happened. So can you tell us about her plan, if there is such a thing, to reduce inflation, and how this spending has even caused it, because inflation has led to a tax on everybody, even the lowest classes. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's a really important point, Natalie. And understand that the worst tax there is inflation, because it is the most regressive tax. It hurts the low-income person more than it hurts the high-income person. And it really just devastates the fixed-income person, because they are reliant, their income doesn't change, you know, from year to year appreciably, but now their prices go up so that their purchasing power goes down. It's a very heavy tax on the poor and the middle class. Here's my concern about the Biden-Harris tax plan. They're saying, well, but we're going to pay for our, well, you know, the taxes we spend. That's what they say. Now, the Tax Foundation would say it doesn't pay for it, but they say, well, it pays for it. Okay, let's say it does. Let's say they're right. And let's say we have a $5 trillion tax increase and to one group of people, and we have a $5 trillion tax decrease to another group. But let's look at those groups. So the increase is on people who are investors, meaning that they're not spending that money. They are investing it into real estate, into the stock market, into businesses. They're investing it. So you're pulling money out of the investment class and you're putting it into the consumer class. Well, where I think Biden and Harris have it wrong is they do not understand the definition of inflation. They propose that inflation means higher prices. That does not inflation. Inflation is too much money chasing too few goods. Okay, so if you add, if you take $5 trillion, because basically what you're doing is you're taking $5 trillion that is not being spent, because the investor class isn't spending the money. They're investing it, which is very different. They're not consuming it. You're taking that $5 trillion. Now you're flooding the economy as $5 trillion. Well, look what happened in 2020 and 2021 when we flooded the economy with first the Trump bill in the end of 2020 and then the Biden bill in March of 2021. And we basically put $4 trillion into an economy that was already heating up. Well, what we got was record inflation. That's where we got that 9, 10, 12% inflation, all right, was from too much money chasing too few goods. If you kind of shift over to the Trump side, you know, the detractors of Trump would say, well, but you're going to cause inflation with your tariffs. Now, I'm not a big fan of tariffs. However, they don't cause inflation because it's not more money chasing fewer goods, right? It's just higher prices. And there is a difference because now you have a choice. If you decide, well, I'm going to buy in the US, okay, all right, now I don't have to pay those tariffs. If I'm going to buy from Vietnam versus China, I'm going to pay a lower tariff. So there is actually, it's a very different mechanics to it. And while it would probably result in higher prices overall, it's different from inflation in that it doesn't it's not self-perpetuating. Okay, because inflation is self-perpetuating.
It almost seems like a bribe, though, the way that the Democrats are promising all this money without a plan on how it will bring down costs, as if that will somehow bring down costs. In fact, on September 10th, she tweeted, "We need to bring down the cost of housing. My economic proposal includes $25,000 for first-time home buyers to help them with a down payment on a home. But of course, if I give someone money to buy something, that doesn't bring down the cost of that thing. So what are we missing?"
Well, let me give you a perfect example of that. In 2022, in August of 2022, Biden it was about to pass what he called the Inflation Reduction Act, which we actually know is the Inflation Enhancement Act. But that was that bill, right? That was the big solar electric car tax benefit bill. That's what that was. That extended the $7,500 credit for electric cars. The week it was announced, the electric car companies, including Ford, Tesla, and the others, raised their prices of their cars by, $7,500, shockingly. So now, I do have to run the math here, because if you give somebody $25,000, it will push the price up $25,000, but they still have $25,000 will get them $125,000 of purchasing power. Remember, because if you have an 80% loan to value, then $25,000 down gets you $125,000 house, basically. So while your house may go up from $100,000 to $125,000, those people will have more purchasing power. There's no question. It will push prices up. How much it will push them up, I don't think anybody knows. I'm sure that I suspect Tax Foundation and others have run those numbers. But it will actually give them a boost. I can't deny that it will give those people a boost. Obviously you're shifting. I mean, it's basically shifting payments, right, from one class of taxpayers to another. And that's a political discussion that we don't need to address here. But the fact is that you've got Harris would, so she wants to decrease taxes on certain things. Like she wants to eliminate taxes on tips, just like Trump does. She wants to give them $25,000 new home buyers, which probably would help them, frankly. It probably would net.
That will benefit those people in the short term, right. But in the long term, it won't if we have another housing crisis and everybody's property value falls. Then we're all hurting. So it seems like there were no lessons learned from the housing crisis of 2008.
I will say neither candidate has learned very many lessons here because on the Trump side, we want to turn to the Trump side. He not only wants to continue the 2017 tax law, which, by the way, Harris wants to increase the corporate income tax as well, which is probably the worst of her proposals. Because remember, an increase in corporate taxes affects everybody with a 401k, IRA, pension plan. I mean, it affects most of middle America. That's really who gets hurt. By the way, if you have the billionaires having to sell off stock to pay that tax, guess who that hurts? That also hurts your pension plans. So if I get back to that just for a second, Warren Buffett recently sold a large part of his Apple stock. And the reason he gave for selling is that he expects capital gains taxes to go up. That's why he sold his most valuable asset that he loves the company the most. He sold it because he thinks capital gains taxes are going up. So that's I think we need to listen to Warren Buffett on that one. On the Trump side, he wants to reduce corporate taxes. So he wants to reduce them even more, 20% or down to 15%. That's probably the best of his proposals. He wants to eliminate tax on Social Security, which is frankly a terrible idea because that money goes directly to the Social Security Trust Fund. He wants to eliminate taxes on tips, another terrible idea. And he just announced that he wants to bring back the state and local income tax deduction, which is a terrible idea, okay, because it's a very expensive and only helps rich people. So there are things, you know, people think, well, I have good and bad here. No, I have bad and bad. It's just which one's worse. Now, Trump very much favors the business owner, okay, and his proposals, his tax proposals are all business favorable, where Harris's proposals are all consumer favorable. And I think that's a very simple way to look at it is if you're a consumer, you probably like Harris's proposals, absent the inflationary aspects of it, you probably like it. If you are a business owner, if you're an investor, you're going to like Trump's proposals because he wants to maintain the 20% business tax deduction, flow-through tax deduction. He wants to lower the corporate income tax rate. He wants to bring back bonus depreciation, full bonus depreciation. He wants to make research and development fully deductible. So those are very pro-business. He's just, like Harris, is unfortunately pandering to the general population when it comes to things like not taxing tips and not taxing Social Security.
One of the things I would like President Trump to address is why he started the COVID handouts. They were not based on needs, and economists were saying this is going to flood the market with money and we will have a record-breaking inflation, and that in fact happened. Right. Now, of course, the Biden administration just kept on spending, but President Trump has never answered for why he did that in the first place. So I would like to see an answer that seems to address the cause of inflation. He also hasn't talked about reducing spending on foreign wars. Neither candidate has. So do we even have a vote on those things? Am I correct?
No, that's very fair. I haven't seen anybody talking about the defense budget. Okay. We actually are very low in our defense spending. We're spending money on foreign wars, but we're not building up our military, which is, I think, a big concern when you have China doing what it's doing in the South China Sea, when you have Russia doing what it's doing, and you have the China-Russia alliance, you have BRICS. That's Brazil, Russia, China, India, South Africa, and 20 other nations that want to create their own currency. That is backed by some type of a commodity so that it's more stable current, so it gives it some stability, so that they're not fully reliant on the U.S. dollar. So there are, I would love to hear more discussion of actually the economy. There was, unfortunately, in the debate between the two candidates, there was no discussion of the economy, which I thought was a huge disservice by the commentators, by the interviewers, to the American public, and the world public, frankly, because the world relies on the U.S. economy. Europe sells to the U.S., Mexico sells to the U.S., Canada sells to the U.S., China sells to the U.S. Everybody's relying on the U.S. economy. But when you see some of these proposals that would have a big negative impact, the Tax Foundation, for example, suggests that Harris's proposals would lead to a decrease across the board in the economy by 2 to 3% across the board, a decrease in jobs by about 800,000. Now, Trump's proposals would decrease jobs by about 400,000. So both of them actually bring down the economy. So it'd be nice to actually see the candidates start focusing on, rather than what do we do to get you to vote for me, what do we do to actually help the economy bring down the deficit, which is headed towards another, I was just reading that by in the next 20 years, we could add another $22 trillion to the deficit, where our interest expense will be more than our defense spending. Now, that's a scary thought.
It's unusual that today is the first rate cut that we get of the year. Normally in a presidential election year, we get several. So why do you think that's happened? And now that we have rate cuts, what do you think will happen to the economy?
Well, you know, the Fed says that they have two jobs. One is to maintain unemployment at a low level, and the other is to keep prices down. They do not take on, they say, whatever the government's going to do, we're going to counterbalance what the government does. That they're basically, they call themselves the balance to the federal government. So when Harris or Trump put all this money into the economy, their job is to reduce inflation. Well, the way they're going to do that is to raise interest rates. So I think a lot of it's going to depend on, we'll see minor rate cuts over the next, 3 to 6 months for sure. We'll see a couple of small rate cuts. But I think they're going to be very cautious, because what we don't know is, we don't know who the president's going to be. We also don't know who's going to control Congress, because you have a very different animal. Let's say the Democrats control all of Congress. Well, what they want to do is they want to flip the Supreme Court on day one. They want to flip the Supreme Court by putting in term limits, retroactive term limits. They want to eliminate the filibuster, which means that they can pass any bill they want if they had a majority. And of course, they're going to only do that if they have a majority going in. So the chances of that filibuster going down the tubes, if the Democrats sweep, is, I think, pretty high. If the Republicans sweep, you're going to see a lot of emphasis on eliminating, frankly, federal agencies, cutting regulations. You're going to see a lot of emphasis on, of course, they're going to be looking at the tax side, but they're looking at it from a business side. I don't think the deficit gets better, frankly, under either choice. I think the best bet is probably you have Republicans controlling part of the government and Democrats controlling the other part of the government, and they actually have to work together. When the two sides have to work together, we tend to get much better results than when one party is completely in charge.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time. I always go to you when I'm looking for guidance on the economy. You're one of my favorite financial experts. You can follow Tom as well. Head on over to wealthability.com. He's got a great podcast. He's got great books on helping to empower you with your personal wealth. So check him out. Tom, thanks again. And, you know, election year, we're going to cross our fingers and hope for the best for everyone.
Absolutely. Thanks, Natalie. It'll be fun. It'll be a ride.
All right. Well, I'm terrified when he said he thinks Democrats will take control of both houses. That's scary. Also, of course, you know, I don't want to see an expansion of the military in other places that will cost us. But we don't know. Right. So at this point, we're doing the math together. Go ahead.
No, I love seeing the chat room, because I agree. I mean, Tom, I can tell you, I know Tom is a conservative. Tom absolutely doesn't want Democrats to take control of Congress, but what he's saying is truthful. I think they're going to lie, cheat, and steal, and they're going to do whatever they can. I've said it before. I don't think they're going to allow Trump to become president of the United States. And they absolutely want an expansion of this deep state, this sort of globalist deep state. They want to continue to keep the borders wide open. Mm-hmm. They want a full destruction of the United States because they don't want a national border for the United States. They want a globalist agenda. So that's what's really terrifying about this. And I think he's right. If Republicans somehow do manage to pull this off, you're going to see them trying to get rid of a lot of federal agencies and maybe slash the size of government. But look, both parties are, it's a uniparty. They absolutely, and they're controlled by neocons on the Republican side. And they absolutely want an expansion of the military industrial complex. Mm-hmm. They want $1 trillion a year budget. They want us to have a boogeyman in China or Russia and want us to go to war with space. Iran. So
in space now.
I'm sorry.
And space.
And space. Yeah. And space. Space force.
Yeah.
You know, Trump always talks about, I created space force. I'm like, great. Am I supposed to applaud that? You actually created a whole new military in space? For what? We're suffering down here. Come on. We need a space force now? Give me a break. That was the biggest joke. Anyway, we can all have friendly disagreements. Tom, though, if you read his book, Tax-Free Wealth, it is a mind-blowing book. So regardless of how you feel about his commentary here, you should read it. I'm telling you, it'll blow your mind. And it could actually save you a boatload of money, especially if you're a business owner, by the way.
And these are questions, like the questions that I said about Donald Trump. Like, why did you give out COVID aid that was not needs-based that started us on this inflationary journey? I would like somebody to ask him that. I don't want to hold, you know, we can't hold him up in this regard like, oh, well, it was only Biden who destroyed the economy. We should get real answers to that. If he would allow me to interview him, I would ask those questions. I would ask about cutting spending for foreign wars. These are things that I feel like he's open to these types of questions in the way that the Democratic candidate is not. So, President Trump, you're always welcome on Redacted.
Steven has a great question here. Steven in our chat says, I'd love for Redacted to do a community poll right now to gauge the percentage of GOP versus Democratic followers. Genuinely curious. Maybe David, because we can't do polls on Rumble, but maybe David, you could put up a poll. Are you a Democrat? Are you Republican? Are you independent? Maybe that would be a good poll. What do you think? Maybe you ask those three in a poll. We'll put that up right now. Thank you, Steven, for that. It's really interesting.
Put it up.
All right, we're going to do that.
All right, while we do that.
8%.
Yeah. I know. Coming up, Ian Carroll's going to join us to talk about the Diddy indictment and what is missing from this indictment. Why does it kind of stop with him? Is he just the fall guy here, sort of the scapegoat? How high does this actually go? What about the sex trafficking, the minors, the video evidence? All of that we're going to talk about in just a moment. But first...
First, we want to tell you about Armra, one of our show sponsors, because they have a supplement called Colestrum that you might want to look into because it has evolved over 300 million years ago. It's the first milk all mammals produce. If you've ever nursed, you know that the first thing that you make is not milk, it's actually colostrum, and it's something that the body absolutely needs and your baby needs. Well, have you considered looking into it for your own health? It has 400 plus functional nutrients. Armra harnesses the power of humans' original bioactive food. It's the host of protective antibodies, whole food prebiotics, strengthening peptides, free amino acids. So it really is a sustainably sourced grass from grass-fed cows on family-owned dairy. And you can use it to strengthen your immunity and your gut health, especially as we head into flu season. It also helps to improve your fitness and your metabolism and enhance your skin and hair radiance. So you've heard about Armra Colostrum by now. So what you can do to try it out is head on over to tryarmra.com/redacted. If you enter our code redacted, you get 15% off your first order. So check it out. See if it can help you enhance your health as well. So again, head on over to tryarmra, ARMRA.com. That's tryarmra.com/redacted. Use our code redacted. Get 15% off your first order. That one more time. That's tryarmra.com/redacted.
Well, they're calling P. Diddy eminently trustworthy, yes, and that he should be released on a $50 million bond as part of his bail hearing. Eminently trustworthy. Well, we'll see about that. But there are a lot of questions still in this indictment Are there bigger fish to fry here? There's a lot of holes, a lot of unanswered questions. Someone who's been digging into this very deeply for many, many months is Ian Carroll. Of course, you can follow him on X, on TikTok, and he's been doing an amazing job and amazing journalism digging into this, to all of this and how deeply this goes. So we invited Ian to come on the show and dive a little bit more deeply into all of this. Ian, great to see you today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Clayton. Great to be back, man.
So I just want to go through pieces of this indictment because Natalie did a great job yesterday deep diving, going through all the pieces of the indictment. But there's a lot. I mean, the indictment describes a pattern of abuse and coercion in all of this. But the full extent of this criminal organization and these alleged activities, we don't know. Who else might be involved in this is still not fully clear. So that's my side of it. What did you make of what's left out of this indictment?
I mean, the glaring hole is that the indictment goes after sort of the bottom of what we learned from the Lil Rod lawsuit. It goes after the guns and the drugs and a lot of the violence on Diddy's level. But notably missing is the name Lucian Grange, the CEO of Universal Music Group. He was named originally in Lil Rod's lawsuit with alleged clear evidence of him knowing about the parties and funding the parties, but later on, through mechanisms of power, he got his name removed from that lawsuit, is my understanding, and now he does not show up in the indictment against Diddy. And that's kind of to be expected, because often they'll go after the smaller fish first. But that's the biggest hole in the story, because that starts to cut the legs off of going upwards above Diddy.
So in that way, then, do you think I said this yesterday on the show, that I feel like he might be the scapegoat here, and that the goal is to try to stop it with him. Nothing more to see here. Don't go any higher. Don't look at how dirty and deeply this goes. Is that your sense of it?
That's the worry. And I think that right now there's prevailing sentiments on the internet, and the pessimistic sentiment is they're going to cover up all of the connections and not go after the bigger fish and use Diddy as a scapegoat. And that seems likely based on past history, but there is a large optimistic sentiment that they are going after him now, and they have arrested him, and he may be talking. They denied him bail, allegedly. And so there are people that believe that they're going to get him to talk and to start to add other indictments, add other charges, and start to arrest other people. Time will tell. I'm sure hoping that they go after more and that this is just the start. But it's really hard to say at this point if we have a new justice system or any actual justice in this case, or whether it's just another Epstein 2.0.
Yesterday on the show, we talked about Fahim Muhammad and this very odd purchasing of property at the southern border, right along the southern border wall, right next to Tijuana in the town of Boulevard, which, as we talked about on the show yesterday, no one would buy property at that location unless you're a criminal or you want to be involved in some sort of cartel related organization to traffic people across the southern border. That piece of it seems glaringly missing right now. What do you make of that?
First of all, anyone who hasn't seen your episode about that from the other day should go watch it. I had speculated a little bit about Fahim Muhammad and that property side of it when I first started investigating, but I didn't find that news clip that you guys found. And that really puts it into clear, obvious, like in your face perspective. Because Fahim Muhammad, if anyone doesn't know, Fahim Muhammad was Michael Jackson's head of security when this guy was like in his early 20s, straight out of college, which is already a huge red flag. And as soon as Michael Jackson died, he gets promoted to being the head of Diddy's security for this blackmail ring, which it means he's overseeing all this criminal activity. So clearly his background is not the business and real estate degrees that he got in college. And him having this other side of his business, which is this property purchasing, he's like gifting acres and acres of property to his 14-year-old son, which just sounds like tax write-offs and money laundering to me. It's on the southern border with the southern border wall there. It's a big enough piece of property that it could easily be used for human trafficking. And I've spoken with other journalists on the ground in the San Diego area that are reaching the exact same conclusions and even going a little deeper. So I'm still tracing those threads. But to me, that speaks to connections to much bigger things in the industry and to a much bigger network, because not only is the real estate, the human trafficking, the miners, all of that's missing from the current indictments, but also any mention of the hidden cameras and the alleged video blackmail operation. That is also missing from the indictments. And those are the two aspects that tie this most directly to an Epstein-style organization. And we all don't live in the blackmail world. We don't live in the black market. So we don't really think of how that industry works. But just like if you worked in the sports industry or you worked in the movie business, you know the other people that work in your industry. You know the other big players. And so often I would assume these big players in the blackmail industry and in the human trafficking industry, they probably know each other, just like arms traffickers know each other, just like drug traffickers know each other. And so Fahim Muhammad is one of the obvious glaring examples of potential ties to the other aspects of the black market that is missing at this point.
It is glaring, right, that this big piece of it is missing, the child trafficking minors piece of this. And they did open it up during the press conference to, hey, we've got a tip line. Any victims out there, we want you to come forward. Do you get the sense that we haven't closed the book on that particular part of the story, that might be the other shoe to drop here, the sex trafficking and the minors? I can only hope, because that, to me, time and time again, we talk about on our show, I don't know what it is about the lack of attention on child trafficking in the United States, but it seems to get just brushed aside and they're going after him for guns and other things.
Yeah. I mean, they're on the more like rational or skeptical side of things. It is important to note that when you're talking about child trafficking, you're talking about underage victims. It can be notoriously hard to actually get hard evidence that you can prosecute in a court of law, partially because a lot of child trafficking victims are not in control of their own lives, do not survive for very long, are continually in those trafficking networks and don't have the agency to actually know what's going on or to contact authorities and tell their story. They have no one to defend them, so their lives are at risk if they're even still alive to this day. So there's all these elements that go against us getting evidence to prosecute in that kind of an example. But there's also the aspect that the like you're saying, the lack of attention to child trafficking, which is, as you've had JJ Carroll and Ryan Mata on your show many times, and those guys are doing a great job of exposing that this is not a small industry. This is a massive, massive industry in our world today. And everything that I'm seeing about it and learning about it really indicates that it is feeding a need or a marketplace at the highest levels of power. And so it is only to be expected that if the highest rooms of power are using the services of the child trafficking networks for whatever reasons, then it has the highest levels of protection. And so time and again, we see misdirection, we see obfuscation, and we see just abject cover-ups to dismiss child trafficking cases and to push them to the side and not prosecute.
You're absolutely right about that. But what really scares me, I'll be honest with you, is that we know that most of these children end up dead. They are killed. Yeah. And so to your point about them not being available, not being in the system, I mean, and now this is a purely speculation here, but if this thing was as massive as it was and it continued for as many years as it did, and in the indictment we hear about IVs being used because victims were so beat up and hurt that they were kept, you know, hidden from the public for many, many days so they could be given IV drips, is there murder here in the heart of this somewhere? We don't know, pure speculation, but that is where my mind goes when I hear that there's no children, that they don't have children in this. Terrifying.
Well, it's important to note for anyone that hasn't read the Lil Rod versus, or the Rodney Jones versus Sean Combs lawsuit, that one is probably the one that sort of spurred this current arrest. That one directly alleges that Lil Rod was a witness to a murder that was either Diddy or his son shooting someone in a bathroom, and then police obviously did not investigate and swept it under the rug. So that's murder of like a prominent adult figure that has, you know, a life and a paper trail and would require a cover up, right? That is, and then what you're saying about like abuse and IV fluids and stuff like that, like if you read the Cassie lawsuit that came against Diddy, I think a year ago now, that she talks about being kept in hotel rooms for a week or more at a time to heal from her wounds. And she's a public figure, a celebrity with fans, with like a public image. So these are people that have, that would be much harder to cover up abuse and murder. Whereas a trafficked child has no footprint, no support, no knowledge that they even exist. And so if they're willing to, if Diddy, for example, is willing to beat Cassie to the point of needing to hide her in a hotel room for weeks at a time to heal, then you can only imagine what he's willing to do to someone that has no one looking for them and no one coming to save them. So it's only speculation at this point, but we know from other examples of the child trafficking networks and cases that children are killed all the time in these kinds of situations. And I can only fear that that is probably involved in this one too, allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Again, we're speculating here on this, but you're absolutely right about that. When these children have no birth certificates, they're being ferreted across the border by coyotes, no parents at all. They're being used by these elites across the United States in the largest. The United States is the largest purveyor of sex trafficking of children in the world. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. It is massively profitable, and these elites will pay good money for it. And when they're used up, then they're tossed out, killed, gone. And there's hundreds of thousands of children who are missing in the United States. It would be, I would be stunned to not, you know, to, I wouldn't be stunned at all, is what I'm saying here. You mentioned Cassie. I'll get you out of here with this, Ian, in a second here with the Cassie lawsuit. So a lot of that, I mean, this was settled quickly, right? Very fast. So it remains uncertain how these sort of prior settlements that Diddy has gone through will affect this federal case. You know, she's not talking about it. They've again, they were quickly settled. So instead of seeing all of this evidence presented to the public through discovery and other things, it's all behind, it's all sealed. We'll never see it. How much of that do you think will affect this federal case?
Fortunately, there is so much criminality and evidence alleged that, like, the Cassie lawsuit was settled out of court. And so there are certainly NDAs and certainly like aspects of that that are now not prosecutable because of the settlement. But there's so much more that I can only imagine that they have a lifetime's worth of cases left to bring against him. And the Lil Rod lawsuit was not settled in any form as far as I'm aware. And so that combined with the raid on Diddy's properties that happened earlier this year, I'm sure they have lots that they can prosecute him on. They should have all of the tapes and all of the video files if they raided his house and apparently carried out his computers. And so I think that those things are playing into the case in some degree. But if they don't have enough to prosecute Diddy and put him away for life and get him to squeal, then they are clearly not doing their jobs and covering things up, because there is no shortage of crimes to charge Diddy with.
Right. It seems like they had a grab bag of things they could have put on this indictment. And there's things that they perhaps even held back from putting on this indictment because they just had so much. Unbelievable. You can follow Ian's great work, Cancel Coco, on X, as well as all of the other platforms, doing amazing work as always. And we really appreciate you taking some time out to talk with us. I know it's been a crazy week. Thanks so much, Ian.
Thanks, Clayton. Thanks for staying on the trail, man. Appreciate it.
Now, we should let you know what Diddy's lawyer says about this, because he's saying that Diddy is totally innocent and that the government actually does not have evidence. So he did an interview with Caitlin Collins on CNN yesterday, and we want to show you this because what he's saying is if this evidence existed, it would have been in the indictment. And he's saying this evidence does not exist. Listen to him saying that.
You're portraying this as adults who were at these events that wanted to be, I shouldn't even call them events. That's not certainly how it's anyone else would label it, but that they wanted to be there. But mm-hmm. they also allege that they were recorded mm-hmm. and essentially used as blackmail. Is that not true?
That's not true.
How can you prove that when they have electronic evidence that, as they argue, over 90 cell phones, laptops, iCloud storage accounts, 30 electronic and storage devices, hard drives, thumb drives. Yeah. You're not worried about that?
Nope. Because if they had it, they would have put it in the indictment. And it's not in the indictment.
Okay. I mean, I actually thought the same thing, because when the prosecutor walked over to the posters and he said, look at the evidence we had, and it was a big poster full of guns.
Guns.
I thought, okay, there's got to be more than this. Maybe they're just keeping something close to the vest. I don't know what's the smart way to play this? Do you hold this back? I mean, the lawyer will get to see the case against him. There's no such thing as, like you see in TV, like, ooh, surprise, we had this and the opposition didn't know.
Like during trial, suddenly they present evidence that the defense didn't know about.
That's
like,
not a thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that doesn't happen because they have to be presented with all evidence. Right.
They have to know all evidence against them before they go up. So, okay, we don't know, right? We just don't know. That seems hard to believe, but we don't know.
It wasn't in the indictment, but it is still early days. They may have not presented all of the evidence to them yet. They have a certain amount of time and window to give them all of the evidence.
My hope is that if and when we get this evidence, it's connected to other people, and other people who did this will be held accountable, because that's all I care about is, if you hurt people, if you abused people, you be held accountable. And you tell me who else was in it. Now, he also says that.
Sorry, really quick. Do they have to get permission from the people that might be in the videos? Like maybe these people are like, hey, I don't want people knowing that I was part of these.
This is not like a sign of release to be in a McDonald's commercial.
They're not making a movie out of it if you're a party to a crime.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to pay you a certain amount for royalties.
If I got caught on security camera murdering somebody, it's like, yeah, but I do not consent to you showing. And they're like, oh, damn it. You almost had him.
Yeah.
You're not going to be paid a royalty for it.
Okay. Now, the lawyer also says that these were not just drugged out parties where they were making people do things against their will. They were consensual sex orgies. He said no one was too drunk or too high. I don't know how too high is, like, what's the this guy's high but not too high. Listen to his explanation.
Defense about against
so,
that
so my defense is very well established. I interviewed myself the different men who, you know, were being brought sort of into Mr. Combs and this person's, you know, intimate situation. I've flown around the country. I've interviewed a large number of them. There's not the slightest inkling, according to the interviews that I've done, of anything that's coercive, non-consensual. Nobody was too drunk. Nobody was too high. These were adults in a relationship. This is a 10-year relationship. We can't forget that. This is a 10-year relationship. And it was adults and consensual, and everybody who was there wanted to be there. So I feel very confident in our position.
I'm very confused. You have 10-year relationship with multiple men that you have sex parties with? That's a relationship?
And he was fully aware of it, as the lawyer was? He was fully aware and brought into the situation as they would come into these parties?
He says that's what they're going to say if he presents his case. Okay, we'll watch for that. Also, he says there were not multiple victims. There was just one victim named in the indictment. Again, we should remember the prosecutor, Damian Williams, says we're not done here. This is just our opening salvo. So, okay, let's listen to him say only one victim.
This is all just about that one relationship. But when you read through the indictment, they say that there's not just one victim. They say there's multiple victims here today. And what I heard described was they said they have 50 witnesses or victims.
Yeah, I think it's 49 witnesses and one victim. I think if you broke it down, and I say that because count two, which is the sex trafficking count, has victim number one, and there is no victim number two anywhere in the indictment.
So you're saying that there are not other women, because what they were essentially arguing here is that he coerced and forced women into sex acts by using physical force, financial pressure, emotional abuse, and narcotics for what they described as these freak-off sessions. They're saying that he self-described them as that.
Yeah, there's one victim in the indictment. The charging document.
One victim does count, right?
No, of course, but I'm just not, it's not 50. I mean, what they did, it's a little too cute. Is it's 50 witnesses or victims. Well, it's one victim. That's all that's in the indictment.
Okay, Digital Bridge says, does this mean he's gay? I mean, I don't know exactly what this means about putting his sexuality into any box, because he had multiple men he was having sex orgies with.
Yeah, and if there's children, then that's beyond being gay. Well,
I guess I took it as that the multiple men were all partaking with like a female involved. I guess that was my understanding, but
I'm glad to know that.
Yes.
Okay. No one on Redacted has ever attended a Diddy event.
No.
So yeah. Okay. And then finally, the lawyer is saying they're going to fight this. They're going to take this all the way through trial. They will not take a plea.
Thanks.
Is there any chance Sean Combs takes a plea deal?
I don't see it happening. I do not see it happening. He's innocent. I believe he's innocent. I believe he's innocent of the charges. And he is going to go to trial. And I believe he's going to win.
Mark Agnifilo, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Going to trial. So okay. How many more people will be named?
I mean, is
they
it,
don't
a,
want him to
is
go
it
to trial.
A trial like Ghislaine Maxwell trial?
They do
is
not
it a trial like the trial.
Trial
we were going to get over Epstein and never got? Will we get a trial?
We will not go to trial.
They okay. That's Clayton's prediction.
I can't believe it. There's too many people would be named if they go to trial. There's no way. And yes, would they keep it without cameras like they did with Ghislaine Maxwell if they did go to trial?
Mm-hmm.
You weren't, court reporters were not. I mean, I don't see them this going to trial.
Yeah.
But maybe they will.
Okay.
Maybe they see like, hey, what happened to Johnny Depp? Right. Maybe, Johnny Depp was vindicated after that craziness with Amanda Heard. Right. That was all on television.
Yeah.
Everyone got to see how crazy she was. Maybe.
Oh, God. I don't want a court TV type drama.
Amber Heard. Yeah.
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 OK.
Anyway.
Well, you've heard it. That's what we know. And that's what you know. So, All right. We're going to move to Rumble in a second because we have an update to the story about blood clots in relation to a certain vaccine that was rolled out around a certain major global event. We cannot do that on YouTube, so we're going to go over to Rumble for that. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Tax Network USA, because if you owe back taxes, well, pandemic relief is over, so that's not going to help. Along with hiring thousands of new agents and field officers, the IRS is now sending over 5 million pay-up letters to people who have unfiled taxes or balances owed. So don't waive your rights and speak to them by yourself. They are not your friends. Tax Network USA is a trusted tax relief firm, and they have gone to bat for hundreds of thousands of clients and saved them over $1 billion in back taxes. And they can help you secure the best deal possible. So if you owe just $10,000 or $10 million, they can help you. If it's business or personal taxes, even if you have all the means to pay or you're on a fixed income, they can help resolve your tax burdens once and for all. So call them at 1-800-958-1000 for a private free consultation, or go to tnusa.com/redacted. One more time, that's tnusa.com/redacted.
All right. Okay. So we're going to say goodbye to our YouTube.
Well, before we do that, you want to cover that poll we did really quick?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we do have a poll. What party do you align with? 51% of you said Republican, 1% said Democrat, and 32% said Independent, 15% said Other. So thank you guys on YouTube for that. All right.
That's kind of too bad. I would like to talk to Democrats. I would like to have conversations with them. I don't want to build an echo chamber.
They just don't generally want to have conversations. Like, they don't even want to hear this kind of information at all.
Yeah. I have this thing where I think that if we talk about facts, we can come to an agreement. But that doesn't seem to be the country we live in. So anyhow, moving on.
All right, let's move on. So we're going to head on over to Rumble now. We're going to say goodbye to our YouTube audience because the next story we are about to do, we cannot do there. So goodbye to YouTube. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time, but we are continuing the stream right now on Rumble. And hello to all of you Rumblers. Good to see all of you guys. So this is a follow-up to a story that we did a few weeks ago here on the show, where the revelations about white fibrous blood clots are now emerging in living humans, not just the dead, which was being reported by these embalmers around the world. And so Thomas Havland was on the show. He asked for your help. We put up a QR code on the screen. How many of you in your families know about individuals with white fibrous blood clots? How many of you have suffered yourself from it? Or how many of you have had relatives that have died from it? Please take the survey and be a part of this. And the data that you guys provided is jaw-dropping. And Thomas was kind enough to come back on the show and share with his latest findings. So here's my interview with Thomas and following that up. Watch. Now to an update on a big story we've been following for the past few years here on Redacted. What is going on with these grotesque white fibrous clots that embalmers are finding in the cadavers of human beings, and they've only been finding these in the last 3 years. They've never seen them before. What is going on here? U.S. Air Force Major Thomas Havland has been on this story as he started to uncover the data and look at Americans who have, following their COVID shot, wound up with these white fibrous clots. Now, this is a follow-up to Thomas being on our show just a few weeks ago, and we wanted to welcome Thomas back here on the show because Well, Thomas, I'll let you explain it. This is a big follow-up because last time you were here on the show, we put up a QR code on the screen to ask for our audience to participate in this white clot study to see how many of them who are currently living had this experience. Can you explain in more detail?
Yeah, thanks for having me back on the show, Clayton. You're right. Several weeks ago when we spoke, I mentioned I was frustrated because I was not getting the U.S. Society for Vascular Surgery to participate in a survey that would reveal if these things are being seen in the living. So I just said, well, I'll go to the other end and I'll check the patient in. And I asked you to display a QR code for a 2024 People's Blood Clot Survey. And boy, your audience came through big time, Clayton. I've got about 150 responses, the vast majority of them from your audience of redacted. And there's some really shocking results and some horrifying stories as too. So I'd like to go through the slides that we have for that presentation. I started it as of 6 September. And that survey, by the way, is still open to the public. So if you want to display the QR code again sometime during this interview, then we can that survey is still open for your redacted audience to take if they haven't taken it already.
Yeah, so let's put that QR code up here on the screen. Now, let's tell our audience specifically what this is. If anyone in our audience has gone to a doctor and has found that they have one of these white fibrous clots, and can you explain exactly what you're asking in this survey?
Yes, if any of your audience has had blood clots themselves since January of 2020 or knows somebody that's had blood clotting problems since January of 2020, they are welcome to take the survey. So okay. I encourage them to do so.
Perfect. So the audience responded. Yeah, the audience responded in a big, big way. And I was going through some of these results, Thomas, and I have to say it's pretty jaw-dropping and very, very sad. So to all of our redacted audience who had gotten a COVID shot and then found out that they had these clots, I was reading some of the results, and it's absolutely terrifying. But take us through the slides here and what you have.
Yeah. The first question that is not in my slide deck is basically just asking people what state they're from or if they're from outside the country. And by the way, about a third of the responses, about 50 of the responses, came from outside the USA. So from Canada, Australia, UK, New Zealand. So you have a wide audience all over the world, Clayton, that I'm sure you're already well aware of. The first question that we asked was question two, was have you or anyone that you know had blood clotting issues that started after January of 2020? That's pretty much the purpose of the survey. 144 out of the 148 who responded said yes to that question. I'm not sure why the four who said no took the survey, because they weren't supposed to if they didn't know anybody that had clotting problems. But the real first question of significance is question three, which was mark all that apply, have you or the person that you know have these blood clotting issues? And what's shocking about this slide, Clayton, is the very small blue bar on 2020, where only six people of the 148 that responded said they had blood clotting problems in the year 2020, which, as you know, is the year that we had the COVID vaccine. The year we had COVID, but no vaccine yet. So that would indicate to me that the problem doesn't seem to be that much from the virus, because the following years, 2021 through 2024, the bars get long, right? 54 respondents in 2021, 66 in 2022 said they had blood clotting issues. So this slide is indicating to me that the blood clotting issues really started in 2021 after the jabs rolled out. And that's confirmed on the next question. We take a look at question four. Says, did the person with the clots take the COVID vaccine? And if you look at that, this slide pretty much speaks for itself. 136 of the respondents said yes, the person with the clots took the COVID vaccine. Only seven said no. So that's telling me, that's pretty clear right there, right? It's a COVID vaccine problem, not a COVID virus problem. Right. On to question five. He said, what years, mark all that apply, did the person with the clots take the COVID-19 vaccine? And if you look there, we had a response for December 2020. If you recall, the jabs did roll out the very last month of December in mass, but then they really started, kind of kicked off in January of 2021. And not surprisingly, that is the longest bar in the survey. 106 of the respondents said that they saw the person with the clots took the COVID vaccine in 2021, and then you see the bars start to shrink in 2022 and 2023 going forward, and this matches perfectly what the CDC is saying, 80% of American adults over the age of 18 took at least the first two jabs way back in 2021. Only about 20% of American adults over the age of 18 took the bivalent Omicron booster in the fall of 2022. And then only about 10 to 15% of American adults took the XBB 1.5 booster that came out last fall of 2023. So this tells me that your audience is responding accurately, that you know most of them got their shots back in 2021, or the people they know, and that they started to taper off in the following years. The next question, question six, is how soon did the person develop the blood clotting issue after taking the COVID vaccine? 26 of the respondents said they didn't know. 11 people said that was less than 2 weeks. 10 people said between 2 weeks and a month. But then as you can see, the bars start to get longer. 26 people said between 1 to 6 months. 32 people said between 6 months and a year. And 36 people said greater than 1 year after they took the shot, did they start to get the blood clotting. And this actually corroborates the theory we have about these white fibrous clots. I don't know if you recall, but in conversations with Mr. Richard Hirschman, who's an embalmer, he was in the Died Suddenly movie. Richard said he didn't start seeing the white fibrous clots until the middle of 2021, about 6 months after the vaccines rolled out. So that corroborates the theory that it could take as much as 6 to 18 months or even more for these white fibrous clots, like I'm showing the audience, to actually grow to the point where they actually become noticeable or they actually endanger the person, you know, of having a stroke or heart attack.
So, and these embalmers have had, I mean, decades of experience. Like, this isn't like their first year in embalming.
Right. In fact, the average embalming experience they had in my last survey was 15 years, with many of the embalmers having 20 or 30 years of experience. So these people
know dead bodies, and they've never seen
these white clots before until 2021 after the jabs rolled out.
So that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And we can't sit here and say, I mean, we can't sit here and say, yes, there's a direct connection, because we don't, there's been no studies. There's been, other than your studies of the embalmers and these responses, we've had no clinical studies to show, right? And is there anyone taking this on right now to prove?
Yeah, I'm the only one that's capturing timing as well as prevalence in terms of, you know, what percentage of the corpses contain these clots. And in 2023, the last time we did the survey, the embalmers were seeing these clots in an average of 20% of their corpses, one out of every five corpse. So this is really serious. Yeah. Going on to question seven in the survey, the blood clotting issue was in what part of the body? Mark all that apply. The number one answer on this one was legs. 62 people said legs. 36 people said lungs. Then it was like heart and brain. And then I had at the bottom, there's a long bar for other, which includes things like eye, nose, arm, uterus. These blood clots are popping up all over the body, Clayton. But what's interesting about your audience's responses here is this matches perfectly the CDC's V-safe free text data. Now, you recall the CDC has two systems, one called VAERS, but then they had another system called V-safe, which was a downloadable app that people could download on their smartphones to talk about their vaccine experience. And ICANN, the Dell Bigtree's folks at the Highwire, their ICANN is the Informed Consent Action Network, they actually had to FOIA the CDC in order to get the free text data words out of the VSafe system in terms of what people were experiencing. The CDC did not want to turn that over voluntarily. ICANN made them do it via a FOIA request. A judge said, yes, you're going to turn this information over. And I've been downloading that information in the form of an Excel spreadsheet that when ICANN gets it, and I've looked through the Excel spreadsheets, and guess what? The number one reason people are having blood clotting issues is in the place they're having them is in the legs, followed by the lungs, according to these hundreds of thousands of records from the V-safe system that's being downloaded. So that perfectly matches your audience's response in terms of legs being first, lungs being second, et cetera. So again, gives me confidence that your audience has given me very good data that's matching what the CDC is seeing. Question number eight.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say there's nine questions on here, and I want to thank our audience for taking the time to go through these questions, because you guys are the only ones right now who are being able to share this information with the world. And this has been silenced. So I just want to thank our audience for being so responsive to this. So I'm sorry. Hit number questions 8 and 9, right? There's 9 total, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Question 8 was, how was the blood clotting issue resolved? Now, the good news is 16 people said that it went away on its own, and 31 said that it dissolved using clot-busting drugs. But unfortunately, there's 40 of your viewers that said that it's not been resolved yet. The person still has the clots. Another 32 people said that the clot had to be surgically removed, you know, or physically removed. And I'm guessing those are probably the white fibrous clots, the ones that you cannot break down with clot-busting drugs. And then another 28 of your respondents said that the person actually died. So this is just, you know, 70% of the people, either they haven't resolved the clot yet, they had it physically removed, or the person passed away. So this is a serious, serious issue. Question 9, we asked, if the person's clot was physically removed by a doctor, would you be willing to share that doctor's name? And only 10% of your audience said yes, or 10 people said yes. 91 said they didn't know the name of the doctor, and 47 said no. And this is an indication to me that people, they don't want to get their doctor in trouble, because they know the doctors that have been, if there's any hint at all, there's anything that's going on that, you know, with these clots that deal with the vaccines, then the doctors can have his license pulled or his board certifications taken away.
Right.
Now, one of the things we did at the end of the survey that we do with all our surveys, Clayton, is we allow the audience to comment. We have a comment section. They can just write free text about, you know, share their thoughts. And we had dozens and dozens, as you know, just horrific stories that were given to us of people that have, your audience that have taken the survey that either themselves or know somebody that's had a clotting problem. Let me read just about 5 or 6 to you real quick. Here's one. My mother had 3 COVID vaccines, all Pfizer vaccines. She was healthy and had a stroke and coded in the hospital and died within 5 days. The funeral director is a good friend of the family's and informed us that he showed us the white fibrous clots that were throughout her body. He told us that they were seeing a lot of these type of clots while embalming. Here's another one. My mom never had clotting issues before this incident. Then only 2 weeks after receiving the COVID shot, she was taken to the ER for multiple clots that developed in the same arm she received the COVID shot. Here's another one. Surgical nurse, seeing a huge increase in clots. We are doing more amputations than I've ever seen in my whole career. I am definitely seeing the clots you were describing. When I say it's probably due to the COVID shot, everyone ignores me and there is silence in the operating room. I also hear surgeons saying, I've never seen this before. Also, during heart surgeries, the surgeons are having difficult time suturing as the tissues are just falling apart. Once again, the surgeons are saying, I've never seen anything like this before. A lot of patients are dying. A few more for you here. Here's another one. I was feeling fine. Had pain left side below the shoulder blade. Started sweating and feeling weak. Called the ambulance. ECG did not show heart attack. Rushed to emergency. ECG did not show heart attack. Third different emergency. Doctor did an ECG and an ultrasound. They were all perplexed. A cardiologist was called. I went to a heart institute. Arriving there, I went into cardiac arrest. Was out 2 minutes. 3 sets of compressions and 4 defibrillator shocks were used. They went in through the artery at the wrist. They removed a fibrous clot. They did not want to tell me, but a nurse whispered to me, it's the vaccine. We have so many. Yeah, follow-up appointment with the cardiologist, I asked the question directly. The doctor looked down and said, I cannot talk about it at the risk of losing my job. Here's another one.
I'm just struck by how many of these people are scared, right, about losing their job, about having the recrimination from the hospital board or somebody else. How many of these nurses are whispering this? How many people are suffering from this because we're not allowed to talk about it for fear of recrimination?
It's shocking. It's just shocking.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I'll read two more to you, and then we'll go on to another bombshell that happened to me last week. My daughter died suddenly at age 45 in September of 2022. She was an athlete and her heart stopped while working out. She was an emergency room registered nurse and mandated to take the bioweapons and all boosters. While on life support, they found a blockage just outside her left ventricle. She suffered severe brain anoxia and was removed from life support. My son-in-law thought my insistence that this was from the bioweapon was complete lunacy. An autopsy was never offered, and she was cremated the next day. My family has no history of heart issues. My daughter was an active, 100% healthy, clean-eating mother of five. She was murdered. Here's the last one. I work fitting patients for compression garments. Most clots are in the legs, but several have expressed that the clots extended into their groins, stomach, chest, and one that went into a person's neck from their foot. Most have had clots removed and are now wearing very tight compression to prevent new clots. I have fit men for medical pantyhose. This was very rare before. My business has increased three times to what it was in 2023, and the number of young people are shocking. Very few people have told me their issues are old or longstanding. Most have never had problems before. Only one revealed their jab status, and they were jab boosted. Many say the clots came on suddenly. There is a definite pattern. So I want to thank your audience, first of all, for being so open and giving us some, that's very personal information they're sharing with us. And it's just horrific, Clayton. And like you say, I cannot fathom the fact the vascular surgeons, these cath lab workers all over the country are failing to come forward and talk about this. It's shocking.
Right. We need, and we'll put you, if you want to come forward to us. We'll put you here on the show. Come forward to Thomas, share your information with him. This information could save lives. And there, I mean, you literally just saw Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, pushing everyone right now. It's the fall. Go out and get your booster. Go out and get your COVID vaccine. Go out and get your boosters right now. There's television commercials all over the all over TV right now for your fall booster. Go get your COVID shot. Make this part of a yearly schedule. Go get your Pfizer shot. And it's killing people. Hundreds of thousands of people being killed by these bioweapons. And it's unbelievable to me. It's a Holocaust. It really is. Before we get onto your bombshell, Thomas, and I'll get you out of here. If someone's sitting there saying, again, how do I know that maybe I have a clot issue? How, and I know you're not a doctor, but should I go see somebody? What are some of the symptoms that someone might notice as a result of this?
Yeah. Symptoms can include fatigue. If you have these white fibrous clots or another issue that we've also covered called microclotting in your veins and arteries, it can be blocking a good transfer of oxygen, right, to all your major organs. You might have brain fog, you know, might not be able to think clearly, unusual fatigue. You get fatigued easily, maybe shortness of breath, tightness in the chest. Those kind of things could be indication that you're not getting good oxygen exchange around your body because there's something wrong with your vascular system. And we talked last week about maybe using natokinase, bromelain, curcumin. Dr. Peter McCullough has a website where he says that the natokinase seems to be showing some promise in helping to dissolve the white fibrous clots, for example, and the microclotting. So I have asked your folks to go there. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this bombshell. So after our last interview, something big happened. Can you tell us what that was?
Yeah. My assistant, Laura Kasner, identified to me that a woman had posted a response on one of Steve Kirsch's Substack. Steve Kirsch is the head of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation and has been talking quite a bit about problems with the vaccine as well. But this lady posted on there that she had gone to a blood donation service called One Blood. They have a big red bus. It's kind of like the Red Cross. You know, the big bus comes and you can go out and actually have your blood drawn on the bus, you know, and donate blood that way. What was interesting, that lady said there was a pre-donation question by One Blood asking the person, have you taken the COVID vaccine? I said, wow, I wonder why they're asking the question, have you taken the COVID vaccine? So I called up One Blood's headquarters and I said, hey, I have a question about one of your pre-donation questions. They said, well, let us transfer you to the proper department that can answer that. So they transferred me to the phone number 954-625-3510. And I talked to a very nice woman that answered the phone. Name was Rose. She's Jamaican because she had a Jamaican accent. And she said, well, we have to ask personal questions. And I said, why do you have to ask the question about whether the person took the COVID vaccine or not? She says, here's why. Because one blood only processes the plasma from unvaccinated donors. In other words, one blood does not process the plasma from donors that have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. So then I asked her to repeat that because I wanted to make sure I heard it properly. So she repeated it for me. I did hear it properly. So then I asked her, why doesn't one blood process the plasma of people that have taken the COVID vaccine? And then she started to go a little quiet on me. And so I said, could it be because the mRNA from the vaccine is being found in the plasma? And she said, you're a pretty smart guy, aren't you? So she verified that the mRNA from the vaccine is being found in the plasma. So that's why one blood does not process the plasma from COVID vaccine donors. So
it's unbelievable.
And Clayton, you've been terrific in bringing me on to talk about these things with your audience. But I want to challenge the mainstream media. Where's Nora O'Donnell? Where's Lester Holt? Where's George Stephanopoulos? Where's Wolf Blitzer? We've handed them three huge stories the last couple of weeks on your program about, first of all, the U.S. Society for Vascular Survey with 6,300 members not wanting to survey all their vascular surgeons across the United States and cath lab workers to see that they're finding these in their living patients and have been doing so for the last 3 years. I also revealed a couple of weeks ago that they could get in touch with Dr. Mahana Basharat, who works in Jacksonville, Florida. He's a cardiologist and endovascular specialist. He has seen the clots. He's actually sent me photos of the white fibrous clots, which he calls devious clots. Why aren't these mainstream media folks on this story? And now today, this one with one blood, why doesn't Nora O'Donnell, Lester Holt, or some of these mainstream media reporters go out and ask one blood themselves, hey, how come you don't process the plasma of COVID vaccine donors?
Well, I can tell you, I have a theory, and it has to do with the fact that all of these television stations are funded in large part by the biopharmaceutical complex, as Anderson Cooper, all of these different segments brought to you by Pfizer, the Today Show brought to you by Pfizer. So the last thing that they're going to do is send their investigative unit to find out the veracity of these claims, because all of these people are paid for by the biopharmaceutical complex. So I think it'd be shocking to see the 60 Minutes from CBS News do an in-depth look at these white fibrous clots. You'll never see 60 Minutes doing it. I'd be shocked. I'd be stunned if they do, but I would hope that they would, but they won't, because that's why people aren't watching them anymore. I mean, let's be honest. People have turned to alternative media to get their news and to be able to turn to places like Rumble and other places to be able to get their independent news, because they're just not getting it from these big companies anymore. It's really, really sad. And I want to thank you, though, Thomas, for this great work on this. Again, I want to put the QR code back up here on the screen for our audience. So if anybody hasn't taken this survey yet, you personally have these clots, or have anyone in your family who's had these clots since, what was the date you specifically want people to focus on?
January of 2020, because I want to capture the year of COVID without the vaccines as well. And like I said, very few responded that year, which was very telling, right?
Yeah, January of 2020. So if you've gotten any clots since then, please take this survey, and hopefully we can get hundreds more responses here, Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. Thank you for bringing in this unbelievable news, and we'll see you real soon. Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks, Clayton.
So our thanks to Thomas for joining us the other day with that big update. And I just want to thank our audience for all of your responses to that. Really, really great that you were able to do that. And please contribute, if you would like to use that QR code, if you have more to say, or if you know someone that might be affected by this, please take that survey, share your information. Knowledge is power. So thank you guys for all of that. Thank you guys. We also have a daily newsletter. We don't talk about it very much. We should talk about it more, but we publish it every day, and it's a great newsletter to kind of kickstart your day, or over lunch, over your lunch break, you can read it. And we cover about four or five of the big stories of the day, plus a bunch of things you might have missed, while you were sleeping. Anyway, it's free to subscribe. Just come over to redacted.inc. That's the place to go, redacted.inc. Put in your email address. You will receive a welcome email from me, Clayton at redacted, www.ksat.inc. Just got to move it over to your inbox, and you have to click confirm that, yes, in fact, you do want to receive the newsletter. So just do that. And then tomorrow morning, on Thursday morning, you'll receive the newsletter bright and early. So thank you guys so much for joining us today on the show. We know it was a busy one, a lot of talk, lots to talk about today. We'll be back here tomorrow live at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So have a great night, everyone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.